Julie Proudfoot is the art director of Artemisia, which is a nonprofit theater company 100% dedicated to producing plays with women in the primary roles. Julie, welcome to WGN.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on. I'm thrilled to be here.
Yeah, so let's start with the name here. What is Artemisia?
Artemisia was a painter in the 1600s.
Really?
And she painted such strong, violent paintings that after her death, she was forgotten, and her paintings were attributed to her contemporary like Caravaggio. And then in the 1970s, when women started curating art, they found this new brushstroke. And they said, this can't be Caravaggio, this can't be. So they unearthed this great painter who is now considered to be the greatest painter prior to the modern period, female painter.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's why the name, because there's so many women's stories lost to history. And Artemisia is all about women's stories.
See, I'm very proud of the show tonight. We've done the Tulle Project, which is about skirts empowering women, and now we have the first nonprofit theater company. I mean, do you know who you're dealing with, Julie? I'm sorry, Elise, what are you saying? Go ahead, you can say it on the air.
First feminist.
Say that again.
First feminist. Am I right in saying that? The first feminist nonprofit
in Chicago. We are in a sense truly a feminist theater because all of our stories are driven by women.
That's a beautiful thing. So you have a fall festival coming up. This is the biggest event for you for the season, right? It's September 22nd to October the 1st.
Right. And it's our core event because every fall we pick six brand new female driven plays. We stage them as readings for our audience. It's free. Admission is free, so anybody can come for free. And after the six readings are staged, our audience votes, and they pick our world premiere productions. So one of these lucky playwrights will get a world premiere production in a world-class city, Chicago.
Wow. And this is at the Edgewater Edge Theater, is that correct?
That's right. It's at the brand new Edge Theater in Edgewater at 5451 North Broadway, and it's a gorgeous new proscenium theater, 119 seats, comfortable, gorgeous, great place to come and see theater.
So, Julie, where'd the idea come from here? Where did this kind of grow into your heart, and then you start to think about what's possible and how you're going to put together the money? I mean, a lot goes into something like this.
Well, I came from L.A. I spent 3 years in New York and then about 14 in L.A. as an actor.
You look more like a New Yorker than an L.A. person, just for the record. I'm putting you on the East Coast.
I've heard that. But I'm actually a Midwesterner. I was raised in Ohio.
Okay.
And so my husband and I came back to the Midwest, came back to Chicago, and I started doing theater, and there's great theater here, love it, but I wasn't seeing those modern women roles that I think are so important, and those stories that actually empower women. That's the other thing that's different about Artemisia. All of our stories end on a note of empowerment. Women actually find some autonomy, some control, some happiness in their lives with themselves, so it's really cool. So that's where it came from. I just came back to Chicago and really felt like we needed more feminist plays.
So how do you think we're doing as far as all of that is concerned as a society? Like what would you say, Julie?
I would say we're going in the right direction. I would say we have some fundamentals we need to deal with, like equal pay for equal work. I think we let gender a lot of times get in the way when it comes to leaders. We have a lot of phenomenal women, and crossing fingers, we will have one soon leading the country. But we have a lot of phenomenal women that get passed over. I read recently in an article, I was going to do a panel about women leaders, and there is all this talent in women between 45 and 60 that sort of gets thrown under the rug.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Why do you pick that age range?
I don't know. That was the stats in the article, but I also think that...
Go ahead.
But women often hit their stride at that age in terms of their careers and in terms of their lives. And yet our society tends to see women over 40 or over 50 as sort of, you know, they're past their prime.
Right. They're not as pretty. They're past their prime.
Right.
They've already had kids. We're not as interested in you're more interested in raising your kids than being a career woman, all that.
Right. And a lot of men are in their prime in that age, but women actually match them. So something we can look at.
We generally take forever to come around.
talking about
the guy that's talking right now. And I always, you know, without throwing men under the bus here, but I always I always look at it like the superior gender is clearly the female. I mean, you guys, and I know it's not, it's about mutuality here. We're not looking for superior. I get all that. But like, if you had to pick who's better, like you guys have give birth. You guys go, you, a lot of times you're the breadwinner. A lot of times you're the more emotionally well put together person in touch in the relationship. So if we're really going to grade it out, I mean, let's be honest here. I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, I love being a man and I'm proud of, you know, I'm proud of what men do. But when you really take the whole picture of what's going on, I'm just saying.
Women are pretty amazing. And
I mean, they are.
But so are men. And I think one of the coolest things about what we do at our theater is there are two men that are on our fall festival that have written feminist plays.
Well,
we rely heavily on male talent to support what we're doing. We're just flipping that classic model of normally women are supporting men in theater, men are driving the stories, and the women are supporting characters. Artemisia is just flipping it. So men are really, really important to us, and we celebrate them, and we include everybody. But I hear what you're saying. I think men have a lot to gain from listening to a smart woman.
Yes, absolutely. And we very much benefit by having one in our lives. Lise, you look like you want to talk in there very much, so go ahead.
Yeah, just getting back to the history of the theater. You know, Shakespearean plays produced way long time ago, right? All of the female characters were played by men. And then when did that really change? And how did the female, you know, character kind of grow through the times? What year do you think?
Well, it actually came out of women touring from Europe, England specifically, great female actresses who were very limited. So they came to America and started touring and doing their own one-woman plays. And out of that came this need for the leading lady. But it was really typically a male-driven theater, and still typically is. I mean, I think we're still dealing with leading male characters. It's very unusual for Broadway to have a female-driven play. It's very unusual. For example, we just did Chewing on Beckett, which was a five-woman riff on Waiting for Godot. And it's very rare to see five women on stage anywhere in the world. So I think we still have a long way to go.
It's interesting, and I agree with you, that it's kind of like, you just keep inching along here. There's never any real big move. We did a lot tonight about Colin Kaepernick. I don't know if you're familiar with that story, where you know, he's kneeling during the national anthem, and a lot of people's reaction is, well, it's not going to fix anything. Well, it may just, it's just going to inch the conversation as far as racial equality, hopefully one further step. And what you're doing in your corner of the world is trying to, you know, just, hey, I'm going to have an impact over here, and who knows how that slightly mushrooms us along. You one thing that's cool, I think you're telling about the Fall Festival, is the audience actually votes on as to who's going to get to make the world premiere. What can you explain that a little bit further?
Sure. So after every reading, we have a talk back, and we ask the audience just basically two questions. Did this play empower women? Mm-hmm. And did it challenge you to see women differently? Because so often we're stuck in our own way of seeing women as mom, as girlfriend, as support to men. And a lot of the plays that we do at Artemisia really deal in complex, interesting, dynamic, fierce, unusual women, or women characterized in ways that we're not used to. So after those talkbacks, the audience has some think time. They have to see three readings to be able to vote. But once they've seen three readings, they can turn in their checklist to the box office. They get their ballot, and they get to vote. And based on their vote, we do the world premiere, whatever they choose.
So what type of characters are we kind of developing here? I'm imagining, you know, kind of, I don't know, yeller, screamer, some form of power. It's got to be some form of power that you're stepping into. I don't exactly know what that looks like.
Yeah, well, there's some really cool leading women in the Fall Festival. For example, Image by Jack Russian deals in a, it's a riff on Hollywood, and it's a publicist who sends his business partner, his 50-year-old business partner, which I'm actually playing, to ink a deal with a mother whose young daughter is dying, who's a celebrity, and he wants to buy her image. And Andrea, my character, discovers through the course of this action that her business partner has lied to her and used the mother in a really horrendous way, and that really changes me and makes me confront him and then change my life. So that's one leading lady. Then Black Superhero Magic Mama, which is the second reading we're doing, is about a young black mother whose son is shot and killed by a white cop in Chicago. And instead of retreating into grief or being lost or being broken, she dons a superhero identity and goes out to right the wrongs. So there's a lot of fierce characters that are very different in the Fall Festival. That's just two examples.
That's really cool. So you act as well, huh?
I do. In fact, I have to say, and I shouldn't plug this, but I just got cast on Chicago Justice.
Wow.
Yeah, and I'll be doing that next week. I'll be shooting in their first episode, so I'm really excited.
Chicago Justice, for those who don't know, tell a little more, please.
It's Dick Wolf's fourth installment of his Chicago Fire, Chicago PD, Chicago Med, and now we have Chicago Justice.
What's your role going to be?
I play a judge.
I could see that.
Thanks.
If I came into the courtroom, I'd be like, "Oh no, Julie's gonna take me down. I better come correct." Because you're a woman of power, Julie Proudfoot, the art director
at Artemisia,
which is the only nonprofit theater company 100% dedicated to producing plays with women in primary roles. Plays are meant to inspire, empower, and challenge society's perception of women, and they tell stories and give voices to those who struggle to be heard. How does that sound? Doesn't that just sound great for you?
It does. Thank you.
Did you write that yourself? Did you come up with it?
I have to give you credit for that.
Oh, okay. Okay. So the Fall Festival is September 22nd to October the 1st. And again, it's at the Edgewater Edge Theater, September 22nd, 23rd, 24th, 29th, 30th. And October 1st. What time? What's the website? How do we do this?
You go to artemisiatheater.org, and all the performances are at 7:30, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights, September 22nd through October 1st. And then if you join us on the two Saturday nights, we have a big party afterwards, live auction, great donated things from our donors that we are going to be selling to fundraise. We're going to have free food and beverages, so join us.
Awesome. Julie, thank you for coming down, and congratulations on all you're doing.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
It was most definitely our pleasure. Julie Proudfoot, art director, Artemisia. We will wrap up the show coming up next, 720 WGN.